Two people represent Southern Oregon in Congress, and Earl Blumenauer is neither one of those, but he does represent another piece of Oregon in Congress, and it is he, not Greg Walden, not Peter DeFazio, who is scheduled to chat with Southern Oregon farmers this afternoon at 3:30 at the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center near Jacksonville. Here's our chance to talk food and farms and federal marijuana policy with the Congress member. Representative Earl Blumenauer represents the 3rd District in Portland. He's a Democrat, and he's been in Congress for quite some time. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure.
What are you doing in Greg Walden's district, I guess, is the first and easiest question.
Well, Jeff, it's pretty simple. I mean, Greg comes to my district every week through the airport and meetings. I routinely come to Southern Oregon. I love this area, and there are lots of issues down here that are common cause. You mentioned food and farm policy and what we do with marijuana. We're all sort of moving forward to things that work better for Oregon, and I'm looking forward to hearing directly from some people in Southern Oregon about their ideas and how we can work together to do a better job for our state.
Catch us up on where things stand with the Farm Bill, because the perception is that at least something was passed by Congress that will extend the Farm Bill into the future by at least a couple of years.
Yes, that's correct. The Farm Bill does not expire till 2017. But what I've seen in working on several variations of the Farm Bill is that we end up actually being a little late out of the starting blocks. Oregon is one of those states that is systematically shortchanged. There's a huge amount of money that is spent under these programs, but proportionately we get a relatively small amount. The money flows to states that have the big commodity crops, cotton, corn, wheat, rice. Oregon has a much more diversified agricultural base. We grow food here. And those are routinely shortchanged in terms of what happens if things were crop insurance. The subsidy payments don't flow here. And actually, most Oregon farmers and ranchers that I've met with are not interested in being directly subsidized. What they would like is the federal government to help them more on things that help them comply with environmental regulations, deal with water quality, water quantity, research, marketing. These are all areas that would benefit because we care about innovation, marketing, and farming for the future, and the Farm Bill doesn't do a very good job with that.
When you talk about the money ending up in the big commodity states, it raises the specter of big ag and gigantic corporate farms. I mean, are basically the larger farms and larger organizations within agriculture getting a lot of the benefits of the Farm Bill, where the smaller folks, and when you talk about the diversity of Oregon, that's a lot of small farms and ranchers.
Yep.
Are they getting anywhere close to what they could be getting?
I think not. And you're right. There is the flow of funds for as long as I have been in Congress have concentrated the bulk of the money in a handful of states, 6 states, and the bulk of this money goes to people who raise just a handful of the commodities. And most of that money flows to the largest producers. People who arguably need the help the least get the most, and then we systematically shortchange programs. For example, Oregon farmers and ranchers care deeply about the various conservation programs, but they run out of money typically and are unable to meet all of the demand in a state like Oregon, while we continue, as I say, to lavish support on crops that simply don't need it.
Congressmember Earl Blumenauer from Oregon's 3rd District in Portland is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join the conversation, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Jumping out of this sheet of paper about the appearance this afternoon at the Research and Extension Center is the Sing Your Own Farm Bill Project. What is that?
Well, I'm inspired by the process you may be familiar, a number of your listeners are, of Sing Your Own Messiah, where people come together, they get the sheet music, they're in a church, a cathedral, an auditorium, and it really is a magnificent program. The results are really rather stunning. I think it's time for us to come together to sing our own farm bill. What would a farm bill look like if it were designed just for Oregon? Not for big commodity producers in the handful of states, not for large industrial farms, but for dealing with small and medium-sized farms and ranches like we have in Oregon, to be able to help them. What do we do to enable beginning farmers to be able to be a part of this process? The average age of a farmer in America is approaching 60. It's true in Oregon. And it's hard for younger farmers to be able to break into this. Although one of the things I'm looking forward to in our meeting this afternoon is learning from some of the experience you have here, where people are taking this into their own hands and putting together programs to help younger farmers get started. But it shouldn't be this hard, and it ought to be a mainstay, I think, of American agricultural policy to have this continuity, to be able to develop the next generation of farmers and keep that diversity.
The average age of farmers is right around 60, if not slightly north of it.
Yes.
At this point, is what I've heard.
Yes.
All right, so we got a new generation to bring in. Speaking of crops in Southern Oregon, we turn to marijuana. You wrote a letter to the Attorney General earlier this month about marijuana. What was the gist of it?
Well, what we're trying to do is to have the federal government behave in a thoughtful fashion for an industry that now, 200 million Americans reside in states where some form of marijuana business is legal. And what we're trying to do is to make sure the federal government does not stand in the way of these businesses being able to operate in a reasonable fashion. The federal government forces legal marijuana businesses to operate on an all-cash basis. They can't have bank accounts. That's, you know, just absolutely insane if you care about money laundering, tax evasion, or just theft. You know, people having to pay their bills with backpacks and shopping bags full of $20 bills is an invitation for attack.
Because as a marijuana-based business, you can't even have a checking account to write the checks.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, this prohibition has been determined to extend in some cases to people who do business with legal marijuana businesses. For instance, the legislation that Oregon passed by the voters, which I think was really well written, mandates careful security on these growing operations. But companies that provide security that is mandated by Oregon law have had their ability to have bank accounts questioned. It's really crazy. Legal marijuana businesses cannot legally deduct all of their business expenses, so they pay taxes 2, 3, 4 times higher than a regular business. And last but not least, and one that I think is just really tragic, is that the federal government has systematically interfered with the ability to conduct research about marijuana. There's been sort of a stranglehold on that, and we've been working to try and loosen this grip, because people who, regardless of how they feel about legalizing marijuana, agree that we ought to know more about it, how it works. We ought to have a good test for whether or not a person is impaired as a result of using marijuana. So we've got our work cut out for us to try and make sure that these things work right. And that's another thing that I hope to learn from some of the people in Southern Oregon who are involved with the industry.
Congressmember Earl Blumenauer, House District 3 in the Portland area, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join in at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So the process of getting marijuana reclassified at the federal level to not be a Schedule 1 narcotic anymore, where it's not available for research officially, mm-hmm. that sort of thing, is that all an administrative process, or is there a congressional component in there?
Well, there could certainly be a congressional component where we could legislate that the obvious, marijuana is not by any stretch of the imagination a quote Schedule 1 narcotic. It's not as dangerous as heroin or LSD. Under the federal statute, it is deemed to have no therapeutic results, which is absolutely not true. There are a million people who are legally using medical marijuana in this country, and it's been demonstrated time and time again that this has a huge impact. In fact, there are stories in the media of late about families that are moving to relocate in states where medical marijuana is available, because a derivation of medical marijuana is the only thing that that is effective about the horrible condition of extreme epileptic seizures for little children. So the Congress could, on its own volition, reschedule marijuana with simple legislation, or the administration could initiate it through the Drug Enforcement Agency, through the Department of Justice, to make the alignment more rational. If we were rescheduling today based just on the scientific evidence, marijuana probably wouldn't be listed at all, and tobacco, which is not regulated, would probably be a Schedule One, because it kills 400,000 people a year still, is extraordinarily dangerous, and is highly addictive.
So give us a perspective from outside the Northwest, because with Washington having legal recreational marijuana, Oregon having legal recreational marijuana, California already a medical marijuana state and probably going to vote in next year's election on recreational marijuana, there can be a view that the war on drugs is ending, but I don't know if that view is shared by many members of the body you belong to.
Well, actually, the attitudes surrounding marijuana are shifting dramatically in Congress. Over the years, I have advocated marijuana reform. I think the prohibition scheme has failed miserably, doesn't keep it out of the hands of kids. It feeds drug cartels. We've been working on a variety of pieces of legislation over the years, and it's interesting. We now have probably 14 bills currently introduced. Almost all are bipartisan. We've had 4 votes on the floor of the House already this year that would be characterized as in favor of marijuana. For the first time in history, legislation has been introduced in the United States Senate. It had never been done before. And there have been some votes in committee in the Senate that would rationalize our policy. So I think we are seeing in Congress, in both the House and the Senate, a bipartisan effort to revisit this failed policy. I just came back from a visit in New England where, among other things, I met with people dealing with marijuana issues, and there's growing sentiment. In fact, it may well be on the ballot in Maine this next year. New Hampshire is now starting to operate its first medical marijuana program. So this is part of a national movement. I sincerely believe that these next 10 years, absolutely, we will find that marijuana will be treated like alcohol. Individual states will be able to do it. And I think it's very likely that this issue is largely going to be settled in the next 5 years.
Now, to bring it back to agriculture, and this is where things always seem to get interesting first, we have the issue now with the hemp experiments in Oregon, and some allowed by the last farm bill at the federal level, and some dissatisfaction. The state of Oregon just stopped issuing permits for hemp growers while they can figure out a way to separate the hemp and the marijuana growers, because the marijuana growers are not happy with the hemp people. What do you make of that, and what involvement, if any, should there be from Congress?
Well, I think these are items that are appropriately handled at the state level. Each state is a little different. Its agricultural needs and interests are different. And we've worked to make sure that it is legal in Oregon to be able to pursue hemp cultivation. But there are legitimate concerns about potential cross-contamination between the hemp, which is related to marijuana, but it is distinct, where there is the potential of one crop contaminating the other.
Where the marijuana ends up with lower THC because of the hemp.
And people, when they're producing hemp, don't want it contaminated with marijuana. So being able to work with both areas of the agricultural industry to be able to do it right, to be careful about it, I'm strongly supportive of being able to sort this out. I'm quite confident that we will be able to accommodate the interests of both, and taking a little extra time to do it right, I think, is time well spent.
We have an email here from Mike in Medford. He says, I've tried very hard to start my forestry eco-tech company. The Rogue Valley has one business incubator. It costs over $2,000 to participate. The local small business help through Southern Oregon University can only help with the most simple business plan. Southern Oregon is a downright awful place for new business. I love Oregon, he writes, but feel like anywhere else in the country would offer a better business atmosphere. We're still in recession here, and there are zero ideas from our public officials. P.S. How on earth is my representative from the Dalles? That from Mike in Medford. So what can Congress do to talk about improving business climate in a specific area like the Rogue Valley?
Well, there are a series of things. One, being able to get the Farm Bill right so that we get our fair share of resources and help with innovation and product development. Second, I've been doing a lot of work to be able to deal with our infrastructure needs. It's something I've been coming to Southern Oregon over the years, working with local officials and businesses. Transportation is critical. The federal government is not keeping up its end of the transportation bargain. We're trying to pay for 2015 infrastructure with $1,993. I've introduced the first gas tax increase for the federal government in 22 years, which I think would put some real money on the ground here to be able to make some progress.
Representative Earl Blumenauer represents Congress, represents the 3rd District of Oregon in Congress. He is from the Portland area and will be visiting Southern Oregon for an appearance at 3:30 this afternoon to talk to farmers. That'll be at the Southern Oregon Research and Education Center in Central Point near Jacksonville. Representative Blumenauer, pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take care.